Just before the musicians of the DSO walked off the job in early October, CEO Ann Parsons asked a simple but loaded question that has come to define this labor dispute. What is the role of the DSO musician going forward? The question, which came during an interview last month with WDET, brought this answer.
If we can broaden our scope of work that the players do under our contract, it might broaden our ability to attract new and different revenue sources.
This idea represents nothing short of a paradigm shift for large orchestras like the DSO. In the symphonic world, it's called service conversion, and it is very controversial. Right now, as has been the practice for decades, salaried players get paid based on a set number of rehearsals and concerts per week. What Ann Parsons would like to do is have the flexibility to replace some of those so-called services with other activities like teaching and community outreach. Arts consultant Drew McManus, a nationally recognized expert on the orchestra business, says this kind of proposal makes musicians nervous.
Because of the wide variety to how that can be interpreted, it becomes a complex conversation because without some real specifics about what you do and don't want to throw into the potential conversion options, you don't know exactly what you're talking about.
It's not that the musicians don't engage in the kinds of activities management is asking them to do. They just don't like to be contractually obligated to do so. DSO cellist Hayden McKay says for musicians like himself, it's an issue of control.
One of the dangers in changing the job description so drastically would be if all of a sudden we no longer had control over that. And someone else was saying, okay, yes, you have to play the Mahler Symphony at 8 p.m. tonight, but in the morning you have to go out and do the school job or do these other things. It might be very hard for musicians to maintain focus in a situation like that.
Service conversion is shaping up to be what McKay calls an important factor in labor talks. But interest in the issue goes far beyond the negotiating table. Experts say musicians and management from across the country are paying close attention to the labor dispute here in Detroit. All it takes, they say, is one major orchestra to embrace service conversion to create a ripple effect across the industry. McKay says from management's perspective, and to some degree his own, it makes sense.
We can understand from their side of things why that might be, you know, seem reasonable. And it's possible that as the symphonic model adapts, as society changes, you know, we don't have the built-in audience of people who just, you know, put it in their calendar that every Thursday night they're going to go to a concert. Maybe the orchestra has to serve the community in a little more broad-based fashion.
But, he adds,
it's going to take the first orchestra to do it. Detroit is probably not the city and the orchestra for that to happen in this year, in 2010. It's never happened in anything like an orchestra the size of the stature of Detroit. And the first time it does happen, we really feel that will probably happen, since it will be somewhat contentious and probably there'll be some inertia and resistance even to the change. It's not going to be coupled with demands for huge pay cuts.
Regardless of which large orchestra is the first to pull the trigger, so to speak, there are those in the industry who argue this discussion is way overdue. Joe Horowitz is an artistic consultant and author. He wrote the book Classical Music in America, A History. He says the debate over service conversion speaks to what he calls a fundamental dysfunction among the nation's orchestras. Horowitz argues that the modern orchestra plays too many concerts.
There are exceptions, but as a rule, they give far more concerts than they should, more concerts that are needed, more concerts than people want.
Horowitz says concert overkill is one of the reasons why many orchestras are struggling financially. He says musicians should think of themselves as more of an educational resource than solely as concert performers. Moreover, he says, players should no longer expect to work full-time.
I write books. I'm on my ninth book. I don't expect to support myself and my family just through that one activity. I have to do other things. Because in deciding to be a writer, I chose a field that's not like being a doctor. It's not as lucrative. It has other rewards. And musicians all made that choice.
Horowitz says he's not suggesting musicians work outside the field, but he says within music, players have to grow accustomed to doing things other than work for orchestras full time. The two sides may still be far apart in Detroit, but by all accounts, the word part-time has yet to be uttered during these increasingly bitter labor negotiations. I'm Noah Ovshinsky.